and welcome to the Herb Doctor podcast with Dr. Dealish Clare and myself, Katrina Hegarty. Hello, Dealish.
Hi, Katrina.
How are you?
I'm very good. I've had a week's holidays and then a three-day retreat, which suggested the title for this week's podcast.
Fantastic. So,
and more about the retreat in the next podcast.
Right, yeah. Okay. So what have you bringing us to the table today?
Well, what happened was on the retreat, before we were all going home, there was a couple of herbs that I just couldn't help myself offering to show people.
Wow.
Because one of them was lungwort, Pulmonaria officinalis, which is only seen at this time of the year, and I never get to show it off because usually we do the herbal walks during like May, June, July, August, maybe September. So there she was in all her pink and purple and spotted leaf glory.
Wow.
So I got permission to bring people up the beautiful garden and show them a few herbs. So after that, there was, I don't know how many people came up and said, how do we find out more? Can you recommend a book?
Right.
So that's what prompted me. We're coming up to Easter and you and I are both very busy. So I thought to myself, now what can I pull out of the hat? I know people always love to talk about books. And it is good to have some recommendation of who are people that I know are steeped in it, full of knowledge, good communicators, that I know deliver good quality knowledge, information, beautiful photographs, whatever the speciality, or illustrations, and the work will have gone into them. So I'd like to thank everybody out there because it actually got me into the databases to see what is around on books. And there is every opportunity to educate ourselves. Everything from plant spirit medicine, history, African medicine, Indonesian medicine, Maori medicine, as well as indigenous foraging, cooking, how to go from backyard medicine, how to make your own salves and tinctures and all the rest of it. And, you know, when I was doing the walk yesterday, I was realizing that we've actually been taught to be afraid of nature. Oh, no, don't eat that. That could be poisonous, right? Now, there are herbs to be wary of, herbs that really would make you very sick, and herbs that could be used as foods and used on a regular basis to heal something that needs to be rebalanced. The problem is, the answer to that is to make people afraid and wary of everything rather than educating people. No, don't be careful of things that look like that because one of them might be dangerous. But when you really learn which ones of that family, you'll know which is which and what's what. And you'll know when it's dangerous, right? Like hogweed can give people a terrible rash and it's not good to eat. But it's part of the celery family. And if, as it's coming out of the ground, there's celery-like stalks and they're edible, all right? And nourishing and free food. So it's really about starting off somewhere that you begin to pick the herbs, put them in your mouth or in your teapot, and then build things up one by one by one, and then go on a local forager's walk, go on a herbalist walk, try a blend of herbs. Like if people say to me, what's good for hay fever? Because that's coming up. So you can all look back on one of our first podcasts with Danny, who had turned up at a workshop and had solved all of her quite nasty hay fever problems. So you can go, maybe Katrina at the end will see which one it is and put the number of the podcast on. So people start off with, you know, nettles and cleavers and plantain, like one of the other herbs I showed them yesterday, because it was right beside the lungwort. was the very plain, very stringy, very boring looking, at first glance, ribwort or Plantago officinalis. It's a lance-shaped leaf, hence the botanical name Plantago lanceolata, with deep ribs that you can see on the front and you can feel very palpably on the back. And it has a stalk that has, and one of the authors that I'll be mentioning later, I will tell you that he said on a lecture that I was at, or a talk, he said that, oh, and you all know how beautiful the ribwort flower is. And I'm going, I don't know what he's taking, but I want some of it. If it turns ribwort flower into the most beautiful flower in the world. I was thinking of, you know, well, roses. I mean, I love roses. But also birds of paradise and tropical, you know, camellias, you know, which are out at the moment. They're like pink roses. But to think that plantain or ribwort would be the most beautiful flower. And I'll show it to people when it comes out. We're going to do a herb walk, aren't we, Katrina?
We are, definitely, yeah. I can't wait to do that.
Now I look at Plantago and go, you know, he's right. You know, this is all in the perception. And when you look at the, it's a beautiful creamy colour with a little twist on the petal against a brown, a brown that just shows off the cream. There's nothing special about the brown, but it, to everybody's, and it's like a little tutu. The petals are like a little tutu.
Sounds gorgeous.
I know, but you'd never think of it.
No,
you would never ever think of it. So, and the teacher was Christopher Headley, so I'll be mentioning him later. So this is what the books that I'm going to recommend are about. Listen, guys, this is just my personal list. You will find many more. And if any of you have ones that you want to send in where you kind of go, this is my, this is my go-to, this is sound, I've tried all the things in it or enough of them to know that this is great, please let us know, because I'll check them out as well and pass on your recommendation if it's not one that I'm familiar with. And I encourage people, I always encourage people to do what's local to them. Don't I, Katrina?
Yes, you do. I always do.
Okay, hence the roses and the plantain. So some of these go back to being my teachers. And the first book I'm going to recommend is The Encyclopedia of Herbal Medicine. It's got a new edition. If you can find the previous edition secondhand, believe me, the herbs haven't changed. There's going to be very little between them. So, and if it's a question of affordability, you know, just go to the previous edition. Nothing as significant has changed since then. Andrew was one of my teachers in my general practice in North London. He sat with me for every Tuesday afternoon for 6 months, and he saw all of my regular patients who wanted to choose to see a medical herbalist, and the idea was to teach me herbal medicine. It would be an absolutely it would be a terrible shame on me if I didn't know things with the level and the expertise of the teachers that teach me, and I'm still in communication with them. But he also was part of the group of people who set up the science degree in herbal medicine in the Middlesex University in London that I got my education. So The Encyclopedia of Herbal Medicines, there's a new edition and a previous edition, which I think was about 2019, by Andrew Chevalier, C-H-E-V-A-L-L-I-E-R. But these are all on a list. You don't have to worry. You can just check them out when you get to the end of the podcast. So the next one is a book, The Complete Medicinal Herbal, A Practical Guide to the Healing Properties of Herbs, with more than 250 remedies for common ailments. Now, this is another general resource. I don't personally know Penelope Oddie, but she had a previous book, very similar. This is kind of like a coffee table book, but the information in it is absolutely sound. She's co-written it with Mark Blumenthal. Mark Blumenthal is a legend in American herbal medicine guild and regulation, and making sure that as much as possible customers, patients, clients get good medicinal products when they go to the shop, that what's in the products is actually what's on the label. And requesting adequate regulation to make sure that this is true. We don't need super regulation. We don't need heavy-handed regulation. We need good quality regulation by appropriate, assessed by people who are appropriately trained in the complexity of herbal medicine. But the most important thing about any herbal product is the crop, right? If you don't have a good crop, and there's lots of temptation for people to extract constituents, beef up other products, whatever. So Mark Blumenthal is you know, in terms of the quality of herbal medicine, his level of knowledge, his entrenchment in it, along with Penelope Oddi, who, as I say, I don't know her personal story, but I do know her previous book, was very approachable. Because I was just as scared of all of this and twice as sceptical as anybody listening might have been.
You?
Oh, yes. I took some convincing. The next one I've suggested is, again, another, he didn't teach me personally, but he was teaching in another London university at the time I was training. And his name is Christopher Headley. And his wife, Nan Shaw. And I have read books by Nan Shaw and also Christopher Headley. And I've attended like extramural courses for the general public because he's a great storyteller. And oh my God, his knowledge is superb. You know, no matter what level, whether you're talking about the artistic form, the colour, the framework, the properties of them as tinctures or teas. He a great storyteller, and a massive, again, just total entrenchment. He also had a very renowned comfrey balm or comfrey cream. I don't know if it was a balm or a cream that he sold in Camden Market. And this virtually put him through his herbal medicine training.
Wow.
Herbal medicine training is private in for the vast majority of cases. And in the UK, there is a degree course in Lancaster University. Anyway, one of those. But the fees are considerable. At one time, when I went, the fees were very reasonable. But the other story is that my fees were paid. All of my expenses for herbal medicine were paid for by Maggie Thatcher.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Maggie Thatcher. She was
Just before you continue, I just want to pop back. I found the episode with Danny Gill. So that's episode number three.
Number three.
Yeah, about hay fever.
Yep. And all things come around because Danny is shortly having an exhibition of her artwork.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was, we had great fun on that podcast.
Yeah,
I remember.
Great, yeah.
So okay, plant medicine, a collection of the teachings of herbalists Christopher Headley and Nan Shaw. I will be buying this. I haven't seen it, but I know it's good. Okay, and if you've read it already and you want to give it a recommendation that we can add on to this, or something you found difficult, it can be a review, positive, negative, middling, whatever. Okay, so, and that was published in 2023. Both of them have passed on, so we wish them every happiness in the beyond. Okay. Then next, we're going to go across the Atlantic Ocean now to Rosemary Gladstar's book, Medicinal Herbs, A Beginner's Guide, 33 Healing Herbs to Know, Grow and Use. Rosemary Gladstar has been a shining star in North American herbal history. She grows them, makes medicine, teaches them, workshops them, writes about them, treats patients, most importantly, treats patients with them. Fabulous level of knowledge and interest, and certainly you're in good hands. Yeah, that was my criteria for writing this book, was who do I definitely know that you'll be in good hands. The next author of several books is David Hoffman. He trained in the UK, worked in the United States, so a good crossover between the two cultures. There's massive crossover between North American medicine and Western, what I call classical herbal medicine. And that's because of the colonial history between the two. When UK herbs went over, Great Britain herbs, I should say, Great Britain herbs went over to treat the colonists, and a lot of raw material, American, Native American herbs were brought back, and then they were made into patented medicines and then sent back over at enormous profit. Okay. Ooh, okay, so this is, people think that it's pharmaceutical companies that are the big problem for everything. It's actually the system of adding value and then repurposing at added cost to the person. And this is why I do the herb walks and get people to eat the herbs and put them in their teapot, because the whole thing of the current establishment medical herbalism is that there are barriers to healing yourself. And there are heavy costs involved, whether it's through private insurance or prescription fees or consultation fees. For many people with mild to moderate, and that includes herbal medicine fees, you know, because we have to pay our bills as well. So it's not that it's a wrong thing to do to pay bills, but you want to be self-educated and self-educated in order to be independent. This is what I call health sovereignty. So that if for all the minor things in life, you can get on with it and make your own medicines, find your own medicines. And it gives a real sense that the world is flahoolock is the Irish word for it, generous. It's a generous word. That's just to comment on. David Hoffman comes from both the UK background, the Great Britain background, and also practicing herbal medicine in North America. So he has a herbal handbook, a user's guide to medical herbalism. He has Holistic Herbal, a safe and practical guide to making and using herbal medicines. And then he has Medical Herbalism, the science, principles and practices of herbal medicine. So you can go from the user's guide to the practical guide, and then look at the science. So there's lots of layers of learning to herbal medicine. And then you can paint them, draw them, dry them, make your own herbarium, scrapbooks. There's lots of other ways of interacting with the herbs that I encourage. Now, you ready for the next one?
I just had a question. Like, the books you're recommending obviously are amazing, but like, I'm just thinking of a beginner who's wanting to get in to this.
Okay.
Like somebody like me who knows nothing, that I would love to get into it.
Yeah.
What do you recommend there?
Okay, well, that's the first two, would be the Encyclopedia of Herbal Medicine, 560 Herbs and Remedies for Common Ailments, okay? And then A Complete Medicinal Herbal, A Practical Guide to the Healing Properties of Herbs, with more than 250 Remedies for Common Ailments. Sorry, I obviously didn't make that clear. Like, they would be very good ones that you keep taking down,
That's there all the time in your kitchen, yeah.
Yeah, that you use, you know, and then you know, from there, if you want to make a tincture of it, if it's not listed in there, you could also go onto YouTube. How do I make a tincture with all my elderflowers? Because I can't eat them all in 1 week. Or how do I dry things? I'm a great believer in YouTube. People are so generous.
Yeah.
So generous. And maybe I'll do a bit on that. I'll do a podcast on that as well sometime.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. So, and there's Rosemary Gladstar's Medicinal Herb, A Beginner's Guide.
A Beginner's Guide.
Maybe
okay.
I should be emphasizing who they're suitable for. So that would be a beginner's guide, and that's 33 healing herbs to know, grow, and use. So that would be a very
Okay. That sounds like a good one now, to start off.
We're on now. Now we're on it. Oh, okay.
In it now.
Now, and then we're going on to David Hoffman would be, he's written several layers, a safe and practical guide to making and using herbal remedies. The Herbal Handbook, a user's guide to medical herbalism. And then Medical Herbalism, the science principles and practices of herbal medicines. So I wouldn't start with that one.
Yeah, okay.
I'd start with the a guide to making and using herbal remedies or a user's guide to medical herbalism. So you the title gives you, and then if you go wherever you order your books from, hopefully the your local bookstore, you can always go onto Amazon and read the reviews and then order it from your local bookstore.
I like that tip.
Okay. So David Hoffman, again, they're very practical, they're very real. If you take his recommendations, they will work for you. You know, so long as you're understanding the, like, if the recommendation is for hay fever, that your diagnosis, your self-diagnosis, or what your medical practitioner, whether it's a herbalist or a doctor, has said, that's hay fever. Okay, somebody who's got a wider experience than you would have, just based on your own family.
Sure,
you know? Okay, do you want to go on to my one of my real favourites?
Oh, yeah, let's get into it, yeah.
A Modern Herbal by Maud Greaves, or Margaret Greaves. Why did I think it was Maud? and this was written back... this edition was, the latest edition is 1971, but I think it was written back in the 30s or 40s. And it is just a mine of information and hundreds, if not thousands of a thousand herbs. And I just love it because it gives the traditional uses. It tells where the plant comes from, what soil it is, folklore. You know, it'll do stories. It's just a mine of all of the information that people who were practicing herbal medicine at the time would have been aware of. This was the knowledge that people would have. With classical herbal medicine, a.k.a. Western herbal medicine, we stand on the shoulders of a thin, it's more like a connected layer, but very few, thinly spread, right, but all connected, of people who kept all of this knowledge alive. Right. Wow. And then were passionate enough to set up the institute. It was the Association of Medical Herbalists, it wasn't the National Institute. And their total concern ever since has been to a high level of education, so that the information carries on intact. Mrs. Greaves would have been one of the people who, I mean, just, you know, I mean, I know from writing Uprooted Medicine, right? We spent 10 years writing this. She probably spent 20 accumulating all of this knowledge.
That's a long time.
The people involved in this, it can rightly be called a grassroots movement because it literally was planted in the ground, have been very passionate, very learned, defending herbs from legal threats at every turn. So we stand on the shoulders of giants, and wow. I count her as one of the giants. And it's beautiful to read. But that might be just me. It wouldn't be one that I would start with. But if you see it in a secondhand bookshop, definitely pick it up. And if you want to have a book to grow into, you know, you wouldn't want to maybe start with it. It's a little bit more obscure than maybe making and using herbs for your household, you know, in modern kind of parlance, you know. But I absolutely love it. And the other one, which I would recommend only for people who have done some training in herbal medicine, they've had more than an introduction, is Bartram's Encyclopedia of Herbal Medicine by Thomas Bartram in 1998. And he had been just forever in clinical practice. And he wrote down the formulas that were familiar to him and to other herbalists that he had made notes on or with or whatever, as to what to use for urethritis, for asthma, for perennial rhinitis. You look up all of these disease categories and you'll find several suggestions, you know, combinations. Oh, but somebody else used this combination. So it's not something that I would start out with. Right. But like if I was starting out, I would there's lots of people like me who have blends of herbs, you know, write down what's my blend, what's in Thomas Bartram, what's available, you know, kind of whether there's any concerns or cautions. And as you gradually build up the skill, you'll kind of work your way up to Bartram's. Mm. Right. Like I say to all of the new, because I teach for Heartwood, herbal medicine training school, I say to the new practitioners, now don't be turning to Bartram, make your own prescription first and then see if there's any group that you've left out that Bartram might just, you know, give you the a bit of, oh, I forgot to put mucilaginous herbs in, or, you know, I didn't put something in. So it's not one to start with. But again, it's one of those that if you see it, you might not be ready for it yet, but you might like to kind of use it as a backup, you know.
Reference?
Yeah. Like I'd say with all of these, you're kind of going, you'll very quickly see that they all agree with each other. And that was one of the things that kind of gave me confidence that this was more than a placebo response, right, to an individual practitioner. Right. Because I had three herbalists in my clinic teaching me for 6 months each, if longer with one of them. And the work, the system, the patient history, the way of seeing it, everybody had their own style. People had their own favorite herbs. But at the end of the day, the blends were all aimed at the same organic root knot in the system, right?
Yeah.
Blockage, sluggishness, overstimulation, like it would be consistent. You know, if they all saw the same patient, they might use different herbs, but all three herbs would work for that patient, because there'd be such a lot of overlapping continuity in the actions and the constituent groups of the herbs. Okay?
Sure.
So I'm going, I can't help myself, can I?
I know, keep going. I'm just seeing it with
okay,
you.
Okay, I know, yeah. Now we'll go on to the herbs that might be near to you.
Right.
All right. So these names are, you know, just write them in your diary. Julie Bruton Seal and Matthew Seal. They're a husband and wife team. Matthew has been involved in editing all his life. And I think for the last 15 years, they have been workhorses, giving us fantastic books. The one I started out with was Hedgerow Medicine, Harvest and Make Your Own Herbal Remedies. Now, this information and knowledge is solid. This is just solid. Then they did Wayside Medicine, Forgotten Plants and How to Use Them. Now, I love these. I love this book because there's a lot of herbs. We're a bit like the doctors are restricted to the drugs that are in, that are being made by pharmaceutical companies. If you're not growing your own herbs, you're limited to what the herbal suppliers will make for you, make for all herbalists, right? So it's very, like I can't get Daucus carota, wild carrot. And that is a very restorative herb for the adrenal glands.
Yeah, you spoke about that before. Yeah,
but I can't get it.
Why though?
Right. because it's things go in and out of fashion.
Oh, really?
And things can be hard to grow.
Oh.
Okay, and hard to harvest.
Right, okay.
So you'll get plenty of nettles and dandelion leaves. Mm. And they might be a little bit niche, right? And it might be, you know, like at the minute, ashwagandha is everywhere. And 18 months ago, it was maca.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, it was mullein. You know, we got in a whole lot of dried mullein because people kept coming in asking for it. I don't know what they were reading, but it's a lovely herb, fantastic herb. So we got it in. That was what people want. There's no concerns about it. So this fashions in herbs, and maybe the herbalists for some reason just stopped purchasing it, and then they went, oh well, we're not selling this, so you know, it just goes off the shelves anyway. And another one is self-heal, Prunella vulgaris, which is very high in antioxidants, very good for circulation, very good for a wound heal, just good for lots of things. Okay, so did we get that? The Backyard Medicine updated and expanded second edition, harvest and make your own herbal medicines. So we went from hedgerow medicine, wayside medicine, emphasizing the plants that we've forgotten. You know, they still work just as well. This is one of the things I love about the herbal medicine. They're all out there, guys. They're just looking up at us and going, what are you? Why are you ignoring us? You know? or they might be there going, they don't know what we do, so we're safe, you know. But I think if I was a plant, I'd rather be picked as a medicine than mown and just put directly in a compost heap. Do you know what I mean? I think there's a reason we co-evolved together.
Sure.
That's the way I would put it. So then Backyard Medicine, updated and expanded second edition, harvest and make your own herbal remedies. Loving it. Yeah, that's it.
Power punch.
Elbow down. Yeah, that's it. Big book of backyard medicine. I wasn't quite sure. People have to experiment, look for themselves at what the difference between those two are. The Ultimate Guide to Homegrown Herbal Remedies. I don't know if it's an expanded version.
Mm-hmm.
I know it'll be good. And then Wild Remedies. This is a different, we're going across the pond again now. The big pond, the Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
To the author is Rosalie de la Forêt and Emily Han. And it's Wild Remedies, How to Forage Healing Foods and Craft Your Own Herbal Medicine.
Mm.
Now, and you'll find that there's a big crossover between, like the Plantago Lanceolata is called White Man's Footprint. Because everywhere that white colonists went, they brought this with them, along with measles. But they brought back smallpox, you know, so it was a big mixing. not all a happy ending. But one of the more beneficial things they brought everywhere in the world was the ribwort. And ribwort is very good for any heated, inflamed condition because it soothes the gut, and the gut has a massive surface area. So if you soothe all the way down through the gut, you'll cool down the whole body. So it's very good for the kind of chronic inflammation that we're dealing with at the moment, and particularly all the gastritis, Barrett's esophagitis, reflux, all of those kinds of things, along with hay fever.
Mm.
Okay. So, and that's the other thing I love about the herbs is that they're multifunctional, you know, because they're if you soothe the lining of the gut, you also soothe the lungs. Okay, so
love it.
It's a reflex action. Yeah. So now we're coming on to the history, and there's three books in this. So we'll start off with the one that really inspired me in the beginning, which was Barbara Griggs. It is, let me just put a dash in there, Green Pharmacy, The History and Evolution of Western Herbal Medicine. So this is what I'm now calling classical herbal medicine. Because when you say Western herbal medicine, you're going, well, west of what? Right. So, and classical herbal medicine, the kind of medicine that we use is distilled from and overlapping with, as all medicine is. There's no one pure system of medicine that solves everything, is there? So the classical Persian, Syrian, Arabic, Greek, Roman, and coming from the North Druidic, going up into Asia as Yunani Tib, a lot of crossover there with Chinese medicine. So no form of medicine is covers in everything. And the really curious people throughout history, since prehistory, are the travelers, the army surgeons. There's a massive overlap between sharing of knowledge as armies went and conquered. You know, herbs don't have any borders. You might have noticed, like, you might be in France one day, in Germany the next, but you'd never know from the plants.
Yeah.
Okay. So herbs are without borders. So it's this Green Pharmacy, Barbara Griggs, written in 1997, The History and Evolution of Western Herbal Medicine. So if you're looking for the trajectory of Western herbal medicine, this is a very good place to start with. A more recent one is A History of Plant Medicine, Western Herbal Medicine from the Ancient Greeks to Modern Day by Christina Stapley, and who I met about a year ago, because she teaches with the School of Herbal Medicine in near Bristol. And I thought, oh no, don't tell me my book and her book are going to be rivals on the same bookshelf. Wouldn't that be terrible? But not at all. This is the most learned just integrated kind of with the history, all the way from Greek times, from the point of view of herbal medicine. Okay, so this is the distinguishing factor. And the last book that I'm going to, by no means least, would be The Uprooted Medicine.
Yes.
By two very, very exceptional authors, Dr. Delish Clare and Tim Morrissey. but this is a history of medicine. This isn't a history of herbal medicine. This is a history of how herbal medicine got uprooted and laid to one side in the industrialized countries.
Yes.
Okay. So you have a system of medicine which has served people since prehistory and continues to provide the essential medical care to 96% of people globally, but is available to a very narrow group of people in the industrialized world. And how did that happen? This is Miss Marple and Hercule Poirot on the case. This arose from how come they didn't teach me about herbal medicines, because my patients respond very nicely to them over the last 26 years, as did my patients in North London for the 2 years while we had overlapping herbal medicine care. And it was just a question, why should people believe me when I say they work, right? Because I'll be biased, right? So this is a history of the systematic invisibilizing of herbal medicine, right? And how it was done. Okay, so this is not good guys, good cops, bad cops. It's not a polemic. It doesn't claim that herbal medicine has the answer to everything. It's a feature of modern times that if you're pro something, you have to be anti something else. This could not be further from the case. But people need to know why this is not accessible to them, why their governments do not support this system of medicine. Every system of medicine for every culture, dynasty, whatever, has been under patronage of some kind, whether it was the chieftains in Ireland, the Rajas, the Maharajas in India, the Castro in Cuba, you know, right through to today's history, which is that we are estranged from it. And we have to dig deep. you know, and there's a big collection of people who want to know more. And that's what this list of books is about. Where to start. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't have to get all of these books. Like, you just want one encyclopedia, one, and you can look up and see, you know, like in most of these databases, you can see what the style of the writing is. You can see, you know, what the pictures look like. You can get some feel. Because
sure.
We all, some of us love, like I loved Penelope Oddi's book, which had beautiful pictures. So yeah. You start out, but you don't want a coffee table book that's not written by somebody who is deeply knowledgeable about healing and also about things to watch out for.
Mm-hmm.
So I've tried to find introductory books that have lovely pictures and nice stories, because I love the stories. I got into herbal medicine because of my gardening, because of my patients, and because of the stories and the Latin names and all kinds of nonsense reasons, because I had no intention of ever becoming a medical herbalist.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. The damn patients kept getting better.
Well, there you go.
So I hope that gives people a feel for what to look
it
for.
It sure
in a book.
Does, definitely,
yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, and you'll find others. Go into the secondhand bookshops as well and see what you can find.
Yeah.
There was one other one that I couldn't find. It must be out of print. Elizabeth Brooks is another very interesting author, and she presents. She has a strong astrological feel for herbal medicine. There's so many layers to herbal medicine. One of the reasons why I thought, oh, I'm really going to invest is that I'll never be bored.
Yeah.
I love the science. I love the stories. I love the anamkara, the spirituality, which is to do with the energetics in the plants. I love the fact that my patients get better. That's the most important
it works.
Thing. Because otherwise, I would have been wasting my time and they would be wasting their money. Mm. We don't like either of those scenarios. Mm. Yeah. So now, if you want to buy the Uprooted Medicine, it's on joinedupmedicine.com.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Do I need to say anything else? Because they always give out to me because I can never remember how to promote business. But education, I'm all for.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. If you would like to buy Uprooted Medicine, a revealing history of medicine that restores herbs to patient-led care.
Yeah.
That is on drclaire.com, is it?
No, joinedupmedicine.com.
Joinedupmedicine.com, and you can buy it there.
Yeah, it just so happens that it's just recently been published, so I've got that to put on the end.
Oh,
that's
lovely.
That's great, isn't it?
I love it.
Yeah. But I would have done this episode anyway.
I know you would.
You know what I mean?
I know you would have. That's it for today's episode of the Herb Doctor Podcast with Dr. Dalish Clare and myself, Katrina Hegarty. If you enjoy today's chat, don't forget to follow, like and share. Do check out the books Dalish has recommended. And if you have, like you said earlier in the podcast, if you have any books that you'd like to recommend to us, please get in touch. We would love to hear from you. We're on all different social media platforms, and you can find us through the Herb Doctor Podcast, Dr. Dalish Clare's Apothecary Clinic, and we're all over the place. So you can definitely find us at drclare.ie as well. We would love to hear from you. So until next time, take care and stay healthy.
And I'll add Elizabeth Brooks' books to the list.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's
add
an omission.
Yes.
Loads of omissions.
There's
I go
loads,
tonight and
loads.
I go, oh, I didn't say something.
Just one thing before we finish. Are you going to give me information so I can put it up so people can put it on the end of the podcast?
Yes.
Yes.
So I've done that already. I'll just send it to you. Yep.
So what I'm going to do whenever I put up the information for this podcast, I will also put up the information that Dalish was talking about today. So thank you very much, Dalish. That's brilliant to hear you talk about the books and all the recommendations.
Great.
And I'd love to hear from listeners as well. We both would love to hear from listeners as well.
Absolutely.
Okay. Until next time, take care and stay healthy. Bye.
Okay.